Bible Expositors Podcast, taking you week by week on the most exciting adventure of life, a journey through the Word of God. And now your host.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Bible Expositors Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Baker, and this week we will be studying Romans chapter 7 and verses 1 through 13. So, as we begin our study, Romans chapter 7 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." Now, we remember back from our study in chapter 6 in verse 14, where the Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And so now in chapter 7, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." So what he's going to do is expound on what was said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. And he's going to explain how the law can no longer have dominion over you, because you're not under the law, but under grace. And so, he gives us an illustration of marriage. Now, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "The law," you know this if you know the law, "that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives." Now, the law does have dominion over a man as long as he lives, for a dead man is not subject to law. For instance, the speed limit. I must confess to you that I love to speed. Not too much. I used to speed a lot more than I do now, and I realize I shouldn't do that. But when I get behind the wheel of a car, I just tend to drive over the speed limit. Well, the speed limit has dominion over me as long as I'm alive. So, from time to time over the years, I've gotten pulled over by the police and given tickets for speeding. But once I'm dead, the speed limit will no longer have dominion over me. It won't matter, because I'm dead. I can't drive a car anymore. And so the same thing here about God's law. A dead man cannot commit adultery. A dead man cannot steal. Only living people are under the dominion of the law. And here, in particular, he gives the civil law of marriage. And he talks about a law that is universal. All over the world, there is marriage, and there are laws of marriage. And so, he doesn't give us here just a particularly Jewish illustration, even though the Jews had laws for marriage, but he gives us a universal illustration. Here is the illustration. In verse 2, the Word of God says, Romans 7 and verse 2, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as she liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." Now, this is not particularly going into laws of divorce, but it's just giving a flat-out illustration about marriage. So it doesn't speak to divorce. It just gives this simple illustration regarding marriage and the fact that when a woman is married to a husband, she's bound by the law to her husband as long as he's alive. But the moment he dies, she's loosed from that marriage covenant. She's loosed from that. She can be married to somebody else. Now, I bring up that this is not giving a commentary on divorce, because there are people that take these verses and they use these verses to teach that if a person is married and they get a divorce, that they're not really divorced, that they're married forever. And so they would use these verses to teach that. And that is simply not the intent of these verses. These verses are not given to teach about divorce and remarriage. They're given to teach about the relationship of the believer to the law. And so it's just a simple illustration of marriage. The husband, or the woman, which hath an husband, is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. So, if a woman goes out while her husband is alive, and she marries another man, she's an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, Paul has just given this illustration, a human illustration, to help us understand a spiritual concept. Now, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, what the Bible is saying here in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4 is it's alluding to this Spirit baptism that places us into the body of Christ and separates us from the bondage of sin. And we've already studied how that we are separated from the bondage of sin, but now we see how we are also dead to the law. And remember, in the Bible, death equals separation. And so, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead or separated to the law by the body of Christ. In other words, the law used to have dominion over you. When you were lost, when you were in bondage to sin, the law had dominion over you. And the law condemned you. The law said that you were worthy of death and hell. But now, you have been separated from that law. You are no longer in bondage to that law. Now, how were you separated from the law? How are you dead to the law? And the Bible tells us that you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So, for by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, are we all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit of God, when we believe in Jesus Christ, separates us from the bondage of sin and from the dominion of the law, and it places us, the Holy Spirit, He places us into the body of Jesus Christ. And so now that we're in the body of Jesus Christ, His spiritual body, the church, then we are become dead to the law. And the Bible says, you're become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, of course, the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. But using marriage as an illustration, he's simply saying that we no longer belong to the law. We no longer belong to the law. The husband, the Bible teaches, is the head of the wife. And so the law had dominion over us. It was like our head. The law could boss us around, and the law condemned us to death because of our sins. But we are no longer married to the law, but we're now married to Jesus Christ. That's the illustration that's being given here, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, what kind of fruit did we bring forth when we were in bondage to sin and married to sin and under the dominion of sin and the law? Well, we brought forth bad fruit. And Jesus said, either make the tree good and the fruit will be good. So if you want good fruit, you have to have a good tree. And that means you have to have the root changed. If you want good fruit, you got to have a good root. In order to have a good root system, you've got to have God do a work inside of you. You've got to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. And so this is written for a person who's been saved, and it's just using marriage as an illustration. You were under the dominion of the law. You were as if you were married to the law, but you're now dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So we've got a new life in Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we've been baptized into the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter what our background is, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We've all got the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And because we're now children of God, under the dominion of Christ, and no longer under the dominion of sin and death and the law, then we can bring forth fruit, good fruit, unto God. Now Romans 7:5 says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Now, what that's simply saying is this. When we were in the flesh, when we were lost, before we got saved, when we were lost, the motions of sins which were stirred up by the law. The motions of sins which were by the law. It's just giving an illustration of the law stirring up these motions of sins inside of us. And the Bible says that they did work in our bodies to bring forth fruit unto death. And what kind of fruit did these motions of sins being stirred up by the law, what kind of fruit did they bring forth inside of our members, in our hands, in our feet, in our eyes, in our bodies? What kind of fruit did they bring forth? Rotten fruit. And rotten fruit dies. It dies. That's what it does. So when we were lost, the motions of sin which were stirred up by the law did work in our bodies to bring forth rotten fruit, resulting in death. Now, Augustine told a very well-known story in his book, Confessions, about when he was a young man. And this is the story. Augustine wrote, "There was a pear tree near our vineyard laden with fruit. One stormy night, we rascally youths set out to rob it and carry our spoils away." So you've heard of wascally wabbits, but this is rascally youths. And so they set out to rob this pear tree and carry away the pears. "We took off a huge load of the pears," Augustine wrote, "not to feast upon ourselves, but to throw them to the pigs, though we ate just enough to have the pleasure of forbidden fruit. They were nice pears. But it was not the pears that my wretched soul coveted, for I had plenty better at home. I picked them simply in order to become a thief. The only feast I got was the feast of iniquity, and that I enjoyed to the full." So Augustine said, I got a feast, but it was the feast of sin. It was the feast of iniquity, and I enjoyed it to the full. "What was it that I loved in the theft?" he wrote. "Was it the pleasure of acting against the law? The desire to steal was awakened simply by the prohibition of stealing." And so, what we can see from this is the law works in our members to bring forth fruit to death. The law is a good thing. But when sin comes into contact with the law, just like it did for Augustine, the law's there that says don't steal. And so Augustine is a boy and his friends, they said, we got to break that law. We got to steal some pears. And so there was a thrill in doing that. And think of this. Mankind has always rebelled against law, even from the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve were given every tree in the garden to eat off of. And which one did they end up eating off of? Of course, they ate off the others, but they just had to have fruit off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had told them, don't eat off of this tree. For in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they just had to have that one fruit. And that's what God does. God gives us a whole garden of trees. He gives us all kinds of things. And we've got to have that one thing that God says no to. And the fact that God says no, the fact that there's a law against it, the fact that somebody says no to us, it makes us all the more want to break that law and want to do that thing that we should not do. And that's not because the law is bad. It's because we're not good. We're sinners. There's none that doeth good. The Bible says, no, not one. Now, Romans 7, 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. In other words, we are now delivered from the law. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ. He separated you from the bondage of sin, death, and the law, and placed you into Christ. And the Bible says we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. We were held captive by the law. We were held captive by it. And we could not escape from it. The more we tried to keep it, the more we sinned. And so we are dead wherein we were held. We are separated from the bondage of that law that we were held captive in, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, this is so important. So many people get saved by grace, by faith in Christ, and then they try and serve Jesus Christ by the letter of the law. They try and obey these sets of rules and systems of rules of touch not, taste not, the things that the book of Colossians talks about so well. And they try and obey these systems, these complex systems of rules, of do's and don'ts, and they find that they keep breaking the law. Breaking the law. Why? Because you can't serve in the oldness of the letter, but you have to serve in the newness of the Spirit. Now, what is the newness of the Spirit? The newness of the Spirit. The newness of the Spirit says simply this. The newness of the Spirit says, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And so that Holy Spirit, which is inside of me, can fill me when I yield to Him. He empowers me to live for Jesus Christ, and He gives me a desire to live for Jesus Christ so that I'm not forced to live for Christ, but I want to live for Christ. And what is living for Christ? Living for Christ is just simply, in the power of the Holy Spirit, doing what Jesus wants us to do. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to steal. He doesn't want us to kill. He doesn't want us to commit adultery. And those are things that the law says. But the oldness of the letter says, you do these things and you're going to die. And the newness of the Spirit says, hey, you want to live for God. You want to do what's right. And the law works differently as well. For the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus even strengthened the law and said, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And the more you try to do that, to not look, the more you're going to be tempted to look. And so the newness of spirit, grace says, this is what grace says. Grace says, treat the younger women as sisters, the older women as mothers, with all purity. That's what grace says. That's what the Bible says to us as believers as to how to overcome adultery. Treat the younger women as sisters, the older women as mothers, with all purity. That's the Spirit. The law says, the oldness of letter says, you're not to have any gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's hard to do. That's the oldness of letter. And the more we try and keep that, the more we'll find that we're making things into gods. And yet, the Spirit says, just believe in Jesus. Just trust in Jesus. Just keep your faith in Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus started your faith, He'll finish your faith. Just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we're not putting gods before Him. Because to put a god before Jesus is really to trust something to do what only Jesus Christ can do. To trust something to do what only God can do. And if we're looking to Jesus, then we're not putting gods before Him. And so we're serving God in the newness of the Spirit, in this new way. In this new way of seeing the law, where the law, rather than being the letter of the law and working from the outside in, threatening us with death, it works from the inside out. God puts the desire inside of us to live for Him, and we live for Him under this new way through the Spirit of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you a desire to live for Jesus Christ, but also empowers you to live for Jesus Christ. But so many people are trying to serve Christ. As believers in Christ, they're trying to serve Him in the oldness of the letter. And you just can't serve Christ in the oldness of the letter, trying to obey all these rules. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you can't think this, you can't think that, when you can just yield to Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit and obey the Word of God in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So important. Now, Romans 7:7 says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." Now, the expression, "I had not known sin," simply means I would not have known what sin meant. In other words, Paul sinned when he was a child, before he ever heard the law. The Bible says the wicked goes astray from his mother's womb, speaking lies and hypocrisy. And we've illustrated before how a baby will lie. A little baby wakes you up at 3 a.m. with a blood-curdling scream. You go to check on the baby, thinking that the baby's dying. And you go in the baby's room, and the baby looks up at you and just smiles. And there's nothing wrong with the baby. He's lying. He's lying. And so, Paul says, is the law sin? God forbid, the law's not sin. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. So I would not have known what sin meant. And then he gives an illustration, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, Paul coveted before he understood the law, but he did not understand what it meant to covet. So he's simply saying, I would not have known what lust was. I would not have known that lust was a sin except by the law. So it does not mean that Paul didn't sin before the law. It simply means that he didn't know what sin meant. He didn't know what lust was. But the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now in verse 8, the Word of God says, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which is a fancy way of saying lust, for without the law, sin was dead. Now, sin didn't have power over me without law. You need law for sin to be able to condemn you to death, sin doesn't condemn you to death, the law condemns you to death, but sin causes you to be condemned to death. And so, without the law, sin was dead. Sin had no power over me without the law. Now, think about it. In the Garden of Eden, it was not against the law. It wasn't a sin for Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of the different trees in the garden. Only one tree was a sin. And why was it a sin to eat the fruit off of that tree? Because God had said, don't eat it. There was a law against it. Now, on the Autobahn in Germany, it's not a sin to drive 130 miles an hour. But in the United States, when the speed limit says 70, if you drive 130, you're going to jail. So without the law, sin was dead. There's not sin. Sin exists without the law, but it's dead. It has no power. But the law gives sin power. Not because the law is evil, but because we're evil. And sin's evil. And it reacts with the law. Now, Romans 7:9, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." So Paul says, he's just said, without the law, sin was dead. Then he says, "For I was alive without the law once." Now, when was Paul alive without the law? Well, before he understood the law. Before he knew the law. I'll just give a personal illustration of this. When I was a child, I was brought up in church. From the time that I was a baby, I was taken to church. And from the time I can remember as a child, I was taught about Jesus Christ. And I was taught that we believed in Jesus. As a family, we believed in Jesus. And I believed in Jesus as a little child. But I had no idea that I was lost and that I needed to be saved, that I needed to be born again. Now, why didn't I understand that? Because the law had not shown me that I was a sinner. I thought I was a pretty good kid, and I was told that I was good, and I believed in Jesus, so everything was okay. Now, I'm aware that you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But in order to be saved, you need to realize you're lost. The Holy Spirit has to convict you, show you you're lost. And that hadn't happened to me. So here's what God did. God used the law of thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God used that to show me that I was a sinner in need of salvation. I remember as I grew older, there was a point in time, there was a day. I was at school, as best I can remember. And at school, on that particular day, I realized that I was worshiping something besides Jesus Christ. And that I had gods before Jesus Christ. And when God impressed that commandment upon my heart, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I fought against that. I said, no. No, I'm not worshiping other gods. I'm not. I'm not worshiping something besides God. I denied it. I fought against it. But the more I would deny it and try to obey that commandment, the more difficult it became. And the more I sunk in despair. And God used that to show me that I was a sinner, a vile sinner in need of salvation. And I never would have realized that had God not shown me by his law. Now Romans 7:10 says, "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." And I can say the same thing. Paul found the commandment of thou shalt not covet, that was ordained to life, but he found it to be unto death. And Paul found all the law to be that way. The law was given, and God told the people of Israel, the children of Israel, that he would bless them if they would keep the law, that he would prosper them. It was ordained to life, but they disobeyed it and found it to be to death. And so did Paul, and so did I. Because God's law, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, that's ordained to life. That's supposed to be life-giving. But I found it to be death to me, because it showed me my sin. And even through my sinful flesh, it stirred up my sin. Verse 11, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." So sin took occasion by the commandment. The commandment said, don't do this. And sin worked inside of Paul, just as it works inside of us, and says, yeah, you need to break that rule. You need to break that rule. That rule is there to be broken. Break it. And it deceived Paul. It deceived Paul. It tricked him. Just like Adam and Eve were, well, actually just Eve was tricked. Adam knew. But like Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden. ye shall not surely die. God knows in the day that you eat of this fruit that you're going to be like God. You're going to be like gods. You'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. It's deception. That's what sin did to us. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Sin is an evil, evil, wicked, crafty thing, because sin takes the commandment, which is ordained to life, deceives you by it, tricks you by it, gets you to break it, and then uses that commandment to kill you. That same commandment, it's like a guy handing you a gun. He says, shoot him and you can have his money. So you shoot him, grab his money, and then sin takes and aims the gun at you and says, now you're going to have to die because you shot that guy. It's the same thing. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Romans 7:12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. There's nothing wrong with the law. Nothing at all wrong with the law. There's something wrong with us. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. Now this is important. What Paul is saying here is the commandment was not made death unto me. The commandment's good. It's holy. It's just. It's not made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good. That sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. So, sin works death in me by the law. And the law is a good thing. But sin hijacks the law and uses it to work death in me. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Which is why God gave the law. God did not give the law for people to keep. God gave the law for people to try to keep it and to find that they could not keep it, and actually to find that when it reacted with them, it would actually stir up their sins and drive them to despair, the only solution being Jesus Christ. Now, this is an interesting phrase, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good. And I just think, since September 11th has been a few days ago, and we remember the tragedy and the terrorist attacks that happened on that date, I think about those airplanes. There was nothing wrong with those airplanes. The airplanes were good. They were there, good pieces of equipment, there just to transport people from point A to point B to get people to their destinations. They were good. Nothing at all wrong with those jets. And yet, sinful men, terrorists, hijacked those jets and turned those jets into weapons that killed thousands of people. And so there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy. The commandment's holy and just and good. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. That which is good was not made death to me. God forbid that. The law wasn't made death to me, but sin hijacked the law. Sin used the law to stir up lust inside of you, to stir up a desire to steal, a desire to kill, a desire to commit adultery, a desire to break the law, to break the rules, because it's fun to break the rules. And sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. And so, if you're trying to live for Jesus Christ by obeying the law, you'll never be able to do it. Why? Because the law is going to make you sin more. And so, You have to live for Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by the law, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. But now we are delivered from the law. Verse 6 again. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. And I just want to leave us this week with this thought. And this thought is that if you meet somebody this week, if you meet a fellow brother or sister in Christ who's struggling to live for God, and you see them wrapped up in just trying to keep a system of rules and try and live by all these rules, and if you yourself are trying to do this, just let them know this week that there's a better way, that there is a way that you can live in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Let them know that they've been delivered from the law, that they're dead to the bondage of the law, and that God has set them free to serve Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.thenationsforchrist.com podcast. Again, that's thenationsforchrist.com. And when you get to the website, look for podcast. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Saturday morning.